Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with an update on how much of the youth and Latino vote will show up at the polls tomorrow. America Ferrera, the star of ABC's comedy series Ugly Betty, joins us. She has just completed filming a movie on the life of Cesar Chavez and has teamed up with the National Youth Empowerment Organization Voto Latino with a media and grassroots campaign, AmericaForAmerica.org, to get out the youth and Latino vote. Then we will speak with Robert Alexander, professor of political science at Ohio Northern University, who is writing a book examining the Electoral College. We will assess what the likely reaction might be to the possibility that Obama will win the Electoral College, but not the popular vote. We'll also discuss voting irregularities in the key state of Ohio and the disturbing reality that not only are elections open to manipulation, the Electoral College itself can be influenced in the contentious month following a close election before the Electoral College votes in December. Then finally, we'll look into whether this race is the toss-up that the mainstream press are claiming it is, or whether, as some analysts believe, Obama will win handily, at least in the Electoral College. The former director of political advocacy and communication for MoveOn.org, Elise Hoag, joins us to discuss the polls and her article at CNN, GOP Push to Suppress Vote Threatens Democracy. Joining us now is actress America Ferrera, who has teamed up with Voto Latino, the leading nonpartisan national vote empowerment organization whose civic engagement campaigns have reached an estimated 55 million Latino households nationwide, with a new media, grassroots, and online campaign entitled America for America. That's America, the number four, America.org. The star of ABC's comedy series Ugly Betty, America can currently be seen in the crime thriller End of Watch with Jake Gyllenhaal, and recently finished filming Chavez, which centers on the civil rights activist and labor organizer Cesar Chavez. Welcome to Background Briefing, America Ferrera.
Thank you.
And you've gone through a bit of a trauma, as have millions of your fellow citizens in New Jersey and New York. You've been out of phone and internet contact since Tuesday and pretty much in the dark. How are things getting back to normal? Because there's apparently going to be 40,000 New Yorkers that are homeless.
Yeah, the numbers are staggering and the images are really incredibly upsetting. I think, you know, I'm one of the lucky ones. I live in downtown, so we were without power for a number of days, which was enormously stressful and inconvenient, but, you know, hard to complain when you see the images of what other people have been through and, you know, will be dealing with for many, many years to come, as they've lost so much. And like you said, many of them will be homeless.
So, and of course, this will affect tomorrow's vote, apparently. It will depress the popular vote. And there's a concern that President Obama may well be re-elected with the Electoral College, but have a deficit in the popular vote. You're out there trying to get out the youth vote and the Latino vote. Latino vote is often referred to as the sleeping giant of American politics. Do you think the giant is going to wake up tomorrow?
You know, I think that prospects are good. I think that we have shown up. We've registered in numbers higher than in 2008. In Arizona, the registration rate is up 40% from what it was in 2008. Of course, a lot has happened in Arizona that has really caused the Latino population there to get up and push back and fight back against certain legislation like SB 1070. Of course, Sheriff Joe Arpaio is up for re-election. There's a very tight Senate race there. So Latinos in Arizona know the power that lies in them politically, and we've seen them show up to register, and we'll know on Tuesday or Wednesday, you know, how we perform, you know, as a community. And we can say that in Florida and North Carolina already, early voting among Latinos and African Americans is already up from 2008, which is exciting, and at the same time, it really stresses how shocking what's happening in Florida and Ohio with early voting is at the moment.
And in terms of the youth vote, which turned out in record numbers 4 years ago, apparently, according to the Pew Research Center, it may reach a 16-year low in 2012. Only half of under 30 voters are sure they've even registered to vote. So that is a little depressing. Is that what you're hearing?
You know, I've been traveling the country and meeting with young people who have been keeping up the energy that they can on their college campuses, in their communities. You know, definitely from them we hear that it's a much harder year than it was in 2008 to go out and mobilize their peers. But, you know, one great thing about the Latino community is that we are a young community. We are young and we are new voters. And I think that Latinos will be able to inject a lot into the youth vote, as we are such a huge part of the new electorate, new people voting for the very first time.
Again, I'm speaking with actress America Ferreira, who's teamed up with Voto Latino, who are involved in youth empowerment and civic engagement, having reached an estimated 55 million Latino households nationwide. She's heading up a new campaign titled America for America. That's America, the number 4, America.org. And she's just finished filming Chavez, which centers on the life of the civil rights activist and labor leader, Cesar Chavez. So, again, going back to the Hispanic poll, the turnout for eligible Latino voters has lagged behind whites and blacks by substantial margins. In 2008, for example, 50% of eligible Latino voters cast ballots, compared to 65% for blacks and 66% for whites. They go on to say that an estimated 12.2 million Hispanics are expected to go to the polls on Tuesday, but this is out of 24 million who are eligible. So what's your understanding about the gap between those who are going to vote and those that are eligible in terms of the Latino vote?
Yeah, well, I think there's a lot of obstacles to why people don't participate. We know from research that the main reasons why Latinos haven't participated historically are, one, nobody asks them to register, and two, they don't feel informed on the issues. And so this is the work that Voto Latino and other organizations are doing on the ground. As you said, the Latino community is a sleeping giant in politics. It's something that we are coming to terms with, as everyone else is. And, you know, you don't just give someone a right and they, you know, all of a sudden know how to show up and use it and be effective. I think that it's going to take a lot of on the ground work, a lot of organization, a lot of constant participation to really turn the political potential in the Latino community into political power in this country. And, you know, as we travel the country, we say, you know, our participation isn't just about this year. It's not just about who's the president for the next 4 years or who you're electing in 2012. This is about the next 50 years. So while I would love nothing more than to wake up and know that every eligible Latino and registered voter showed up, we know that's probably a little far-fetched, and it's going to take constant engaging with this community for us to be able to wake up and claim our own political voice.
Well, the former president, George W. Bush, actually got 40% of the Latino vote, and he courted it well. And I recall his commercials, Jorge Bush's commercials, which were actually quite effective. This is a different year, though, is it not? I mean, as much as the Cuban-American vote may show up in Florida for Mitt Romney, thanks to Marco Rubio, my suspicion is that his remarks in those primaries, particularly about self-deportation as an option for people living in this country who don't have documents but have been living here for some time, I don't think that sits too well. Well, you tell me. How does it sit with your community?
It does not sit too well. You know, and even in Florida, what Latinos look like is changing. It's not just Cubans anymore. There are Puerto Ricans and Mexicans. And, you know, Florida won't just be about the Cuban vote as the years go on. And, you know, as I've traveled the country, what becomes very obvious is that in Latino communities, they are fired up and about the issue of immigration and fired up to push back against laws like SB 1070 in Arizona and all the copycat laws out there. You know, there have been politicians out there using really racist and derogatory, negative, cynical rhetoric regarding the Latino community, and they will eventually have consequences for that. And it will take, that as we are seeing happening, Latinos realizing that, you know, these are direct attacks on them, on their livelihoods, on their communities, and it will be one of the very main reasons why hopefully this time around we'll see Latinos showing up more than we have in the past.
So, America Ferrera, it does feel that we are at a kind of on the cusp of a new, entirely different America, even though that if you look around you, it is a rainbow coalition. It has changed enormously. And I know your generation, the millennial generation, as it's called, often described as being post-racial and post-sexual, as much as you're not obsessed with race and other people's sexuality. But it feels as if there is a sort of, we're at a moment where the older white voters are kind of fighting back in a way. There's a certain amount of anger. There's been absolutely disgraceful things said about our president in ways that I think have gone above and beyond any kind of political nastiness that I've noticed over the last few decades. So in a way, it feels like a lot of people are just sort of atavistic and looking back to a halcyon days of Ozzie and Harriet when blacks and Hispanics were invisible. And they just don't want to face the reality that this is a pluralistic country that's changing.
Right. Well, you know, I think that this is an issue that concerns every American, not just African Americans, not just Latino Americans. You know, we have to make a decision about what we want this country to look like, what we're going to allow to be passable in our political systems. You know, are we going to show up and hold politicians accountable for using the words that they've used and the things that they've said, you know, in very, very negative and racist and misogynistic ways? You know, that you're right. It is the future we're going to inherit. And so the millennials, my generation, will have to decide what kind of country we're willing to accept and what standards we're willing to place on our politicians and on our government. And I think this election, more so than ever, or the one that I can remember, that I think my generation can remember, it's so polarizing, the language that's being used. And for me, you know, when I go out to speak to young people, it's those things that have been so polarizing that are getting the young people up and out and angry and saying this isn't what we're going to stand for. And you know, I hope to see more and more of that. You know, as the years go by, I'd like to see my generation stand up and defend progress and defend, you know, the future that we're going to be inheriting.
So it's not just the youth vote and the Latino vote. In a sense, you're invested in the women's vote, because there is, I think, a war on women, at least if we were to listen to people like the Republican senator-to-be, or the would-be senator, I should say, in Indiana, who made some extraordinary remarks, along with Congressman Aiken running for the Senate in Missouri, about women who are raped. The child of that rape would be God's will. That is, I imagine, young women in this country, that must have got their attention as well.
You know, I have to say, it's interesting to me this time around. You know, I have friends, young women who have friends who have identified as Republican for as long as I've known them. And this election has, you know, swayed their vote. They will not be voting Republican this time around because they're women and because they feel offended and disgraced by the things that have been said about them, about their rights. And I can say the same for my homosexual friends. I know of a friend's grandmother who has voted along party lines her whole life, and this time around she says, I won't stand and vote for someone who thinks my own grandson, who's a homosexual, doesn't deserve his rights. So you know what I see in my own circle on the campuses that I've been touring around the country, and the conversations I have with young dreamers in Arizona and around the country, you know, is that, you know, people are listening and are not willing to stand by and let these things be said. I think it's very sad how many people do not get up to use their vote and their voice and fight back against things they won't believe in or stand for in their living rooms. But it doesn't count for anything if we don't go out and vote. Not, you know, and you're right, it's not just about the youth vote. It's about you know, the generation that precedes my generation standing up and voting for my future, for the future of my kids. And so we need, it can't be young versus old. We have to be willing to hear each other's, each other's plights and stand up for one another, not just for ourselves.
So given that your parents gave you the name America, what kind of special burden does that have? It's both, I imagine you're honored by it. At the same time, it's a little daunting, isn't it?
Well, I'm named after my mother, and my mother is Honduran. And in Latin America, the name America is actually pretty common. It's not very common. It's not like Jennifer, but right. It is more common of a name in Latin America than it is here in the United States of America. I more than my name, I think that my entire life, you know, I was raised to identify as an American and to be grateful for the things that being a citizen of this country gives me and allows me, and the right to live in this country comes at a very, very small price to pay, which is to play my role in democracy. And I feel if I'm not, standing up and doing the very least expected of me, which is to show up on voting day and represent myself, you know, then I'm not really even paying the smallest price for all the rights that I have only because other people have stood up and fought for those rights.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today, America Ferrera.
Thank you so much.
Again, I've been speaking with America Ferrera, who has teamed up with Voto Latino, the leading nonpartisan national youth empowerment organization whose civic engagement campaigns have reached an estimated 55 million Latino households nationwide, with a new media grassroots and online campaign entitled America for America. That's America, the number 4America.org. The star of the ABC comedy series Ugly Betty, America can currently be seen in the crime thriller End of Watch with Jake Gyllenhaal, and recently finished filming Chavez, which centers on the civil rights activist and labor organizer Cesar Chavez. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back looking into not only how much our elections can be gamed, but how the Electoral College itself could be gamed.
And in spite of the weather, we can learn to make it together.